ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
When the Democratic National Convention comes to Milwaukee this summer, the more than 50,000 people in attendance will see a very different downtown Milwaukee than they would have had they been here 10 years ago. It's no secret that the city of Milwaukee has changed dramatically over the years, and that change continues today, with yet hundreds of millions of dollars more in new construction still on the drawing boards. On this edition of UWM Today, we focus on the new updated face of the city. Joining us in the studio are two experts on urban landscapes. Carolyn Eswine, a professor of practice in UWM's School of Architecture and Urban Planning, and Kyle Reynolds, an associate professor in the school, which, by the way, is Wisconsin's only school of architecture and urban planning. Kyle and Carolyn, great to have you on today's program. Carolyn, let's begin with you. Boy, oh boy, if you went to sleep a decade ago and suddenly were roused from that sleep and stumbled downtown, you'd have a tough time seeing that that you're in the same town. It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
I think that's what we hear from a lot of people. They're surprised if they've been gone for a while and they're returning. We like to think of it as an 18-hour city, right? There's activity not just during the day and people work downtown and leave that really is transformed. So there's a lot of people living downtown, the entertainment. I don't need to even talk about that right now, right? That's the draw right now to bring people, but it also has become a destination. So I think people that maybe stayed out in the suburbs are finding a lot of different reasons to come downtown. And then I'm hearing a lot of people as they get near retirement, they're moving downtown because there's so many attractions and destinations for them to be nearby.
And that's really important because the demographics are key to whether or not this growth can be sustained. You mentioned the baby boomers who may be boomeranging back into the city where they perhaps spent a lot of time in their teens or early 20s. But then you've got that whole Gen X and millennial crowd that not only come down to party and go to the bars, but finding apartments downtown. Very different from what we saw 20 years ago, right?
It is different. I think there's a really good mix of people, and there's a lot more connections right now. Obviously, you hear a lot about the HOP, but there's going to be the BRT, which is Bus Rapid Transit, which is going to connect downtown to the Regional Medical Campus. And so you're going to be bringing people, making it easier to get around. The complaint we hear now often is there's no place to park. And that's what happens. It's one of the sort of the side effects of having all this new investment. And people that are walking down here, they're fine. If they live here, they work here. And I think the other attraction is all the different firms, all the different offices and companies that have moved downtown. And that's in response when I talk to them because they're younger employees. They want to be where the activities are. So for them to attract employees to their business, they're moving downtown.
My son is one of those who will be moving into a new tower in the next month or two. Mm-hmm. And I said, how does everybody feel about it? And he said, what's not to like about it? You know, it's a vibrant city. You not only find a great place to lunch, but you can stick around once work is done and find a whole different shade of the city be pulled up, and suddenly the entertainment is there. Kyle, I want to bring you into the conversation and talk about some of the landmarks that have now come onto the landscape, beginning with the Fiserv Forum. Game changer, right?
Yeah, I think absolutely. The Fiserv Forum completely redefined that area of the city and offered a place for people to gather for multiple kind of activities throughout the year. And obviously, with the Bucks doing really well right now, there's a lot of interest in that space and being kind of a part of that that team.
You're in the School of Architecture. Both of you are. Let's talk about the look or the shape of the buildings. It's not just that there's been $1 billion plus in terms of new investment, but it's what those buildings represent. It's not the old traditional Germanic flavor of old world Milwaukee, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I think the Fiserv Forum in particular is a pretty contemporary building. It some people say it looks like some of the other buildings in town, like the I think the Bel Air taco stand has a similar
the
roof.
The world's
shape.
Largest taco stand. Yeah, no, right. We don't want to think about it that way.
But the shape really is rooted in architecture history. For the past 20 years, I think architects have been obsessed with this kind of shape. It's called a single surface, where the wall kind of free flows into the ceiling, and you see that on the exterior of the building.
What about the inside of the buildings? I mean, it's pretty easy to drive around town and see that it's bright and shiny, and it's nice to see a different face. But a lot of people don't get into those new buildings. What would they see if they walk in the lobbies?
Yeah, I mean, with the Pfizer Forum in particular, the inside, I think, is where it really shines. I mean, it's a really amazing experience. The levels, the mezzanines are kind of completely open to the stadium, so you can walk around, and a lot of interesting restaurants and options to entertain yourself outside of the stadium itself. But you can still kind of feel the presence of the action in a way that you really never could before with the Bradley Center.
Yeah. And we should mention the Bradley Center gone now. Lots of talk about what might replace what is now a vacant lot. Do you folks have an inside track on what's going to be going in?
Well, I think they're looking at a mix of uses. So it could be residential, could be hotel, there could be offices. I think the main thing is that it'll be a mix of activities. So again, coming back to that 18-hour city, so it isn't quiet at one time when nobody's there. So parking's always a demand, right? Whether they're serving MATC or all the different activities that happen there. And they've been really successful, I think, in programming their live blocks. So the restaurants across, it's all about social gathering. So when you think about bringing a diverse group of people together, this is one area of Milwaukee where you can see a lot of different ages, races, all coming together around, you know, whether it's music or sports. But it's really brought a lot of people to that part of the city, which, again, used to be fairly quiet. You walked into the Bradley Center, and then you left. Now you're here to stay. Even if you're not going to the Bucks game, you can watch the game outside sometimes.
Yeah, and what a neat experience that is. As soon as it warms up a little bit more, you'll see, especially as we move towards the playoffs, you'll see hundreds, if not thousands, of people enjoying the game in a way they never did at the Bradley Center.
Right. Yeah, I think the other thing I'd like to mention just with the development around the Fiserv Forum is the importance of residential. For entertainment districts to succeed, they need a kind of constant presence of people. And so, you know, the area is popular right now because the Bucks are obviously doing well, and I think they've done a great job at planning events and having something going on, you know, any given day. But for the long-term future and success, it really needs to turn into a place where people live and will frequent the area.
The two of you both study urban landscapes. You're familiar not just with Milwaukee, which is literally in our backyard, but other communities, other cities around the country and beyond. How would you rate Milwaukee's downtown, the complexion of our landscape, that urban landscape, compared to other cities? Other big cities, are we doing better? Are we catching up? Are we ahead of the pack? What sort of grade would you give us?
I'd give it a pretty solid grade. I mean, I think we're doing better than most cities. I think if you look at what we would maybe call the Rust Belt, right, we probably don't have the same problems as some of these other post-industrial cities, you know, where the center has kind of been evacuated and people have left because the jobs have left. I think Milwaukee is in a better situation than most of these other cities around the Midwest. And, you know, it has all of the things that you would want in a major city in a kind of smaller footprint. So it's like Chicago in many ways. It just doesn't have the same amount of things. But it's a really fantastic place to live, and it offers everything you would find in a big city.
I have friends who live in Chicago who have their vacation house not up north, not up in Door County, but right in Milwaukee. You know, I suspect our listeners probably know folks who come up from Chicago to vacate and play in a city that we live in.
It's more manageable. I mean, that's what I hear from people that come and aren't as familiar with Milwaukee, that we have all these amenities. We have arts, we have sports, we have all different scales of arts, right? You can go to Walker's Point for a smaller experience. You don't always have to be at the very large venues downtown. And then food, right? We're on the map for food. And it's not the beer and cheese. It's the other organic farm to table. So there's a lot of restaurants that way. So that's the other thing I hear from outsiders is that, oh, it's really easy to get around, and there's so many choices.
Yeah, the Journal Sentinel not too long ago did a list of new restaurants coming. I think there were like 30 or 40 new restaurants popping up, many of them in the very neighborhoods or areas of the city you just mentioned. Carolyn, want to talk a little bit about the spillover effect. You know, it's great that you've got downtown Milwaukee doing very well. There's been some criticism, though, from people in surrounding neighborhoods who feel that the impact of that investment isn't seen, where a lot of folks, especially folks who have a limited income that might not allow them to come downtown, to benefit as much.
I think if you look over time, since I've been working in the city now for a long time on some of these neighborhoods, there has been a lot of change. If you look at Lindsay Heights, which is just northwest of downtown, they've experienced a lot of redevelopment, bringing in new single-family houses where there were vacancies or foreclosures. They have a very, very strong leadership within that neighborhood, so they are looking at community gardening and using sustainability as a way to build skills as well. So I look at the leadership. Layton Boulevard West is another neighborhood, along with the Near West Side Partners. Strong leadership that has listened to the residents and the business owners about what they're concerned about. Safety always comes up. And if there's a perception issue, that almost becomes reality, right? Whether the numbers are there or not, if the perception is it's not safe. So a lot of these areas have really taken it upon themselves to invest in home ownership. Through Community Design Solutions, we worked with Layton Boulevard West. They would buy foreclosed homes. We'd help them come up with ideas for renovating it. And within a year to a year and a half, they'd renovate it and have a new homeowner in that neighborhood. And they had done that over and over. So it started to transform. It's just that they don't have the very large projects like we have downtown. So I think it takes a while to see all the impact and the clustering of that impact, different than you would see, let's say, Third Ward, Walker's Point, in the harbor, Bayview, right? You know, you hear almost the opposite of, oh, I can't afford a first-time home now in some of the neighborhoods. So it just takes time to see when you see the numbers and the change. We always do these investment maps to help tell that story. Look at all the different investments that have occurred, and people in the neighborhood are often surprised.
Because they're under the radar.
Yes, yes.
Kyle, what about the look of the homes, the look of the apartment buildings that that are an offspring of downtown redevelopment? Anything unusual there in terms of what the places that we live in might look like as opposed to the places we work in?
I think, you know, we can see a definite rise in the quality of design and the aesthetics in the city. And I think, you know, the School of Architecture hopefully has had a major role in helping that along. A lot of our students go on to work in firms here around the city and in the state. And so I think, you know, the new apartment buildings that are going up, a lot of the renovation or reinvestment in the existing building stock that's here in Milwaukee, which is, you know, one of the most kind of solid and well-maintained building stocks in the country. I think you see a lot of interest in rehabbing these homes that exist in the neighborhoods surrounding Milwaukee and bringing them back to life in a certain way. And so I do see a lot of emphasis on design in a way that wasn't there, you know, 20 years ago when I was in school, which I really appreciate. I think the city's aesthetics have transformed pretty radically.
And you mentioned that that Milwaukee may be different or is different from other Rust Belt cities. I'm thinking of Detroit, where they had, again, serious economic problems brought about by the changes in our industries. You know, we saw some of the big companies close up in places like Detroit. It was 10 times as bad, and they actually had a hollowing out of the neighborhoods with blocks and blocks of homes that have been taken down. That's not the case here.
It's not at all. Yeah, I mean, Detroit, you know, was built for a population that never arrived, and then very quickly receded after the jobs started leaving the area. And so that's how you get that type of urbanism, right, where you do have just little pockets and then vast gaps of nothingness in between. And so I think Milwaukee's always been really good at developing slowly and intentionally and not overextending ourselves. And so we don't see the same kinds of issues.
Well, so there's one of the pluses of having those German conservative roots, right? You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and this week we're talking about the renaissance of urban Milwaukee. Our guests are Carolyn Eswine and Kyle Reynolds, both part of UWM's School of Architecture and Urban Planning, something that we're very, very proud of. Being the only school of its kind here in the state of Wisconsin. One of the other big projects that has been on the drawing board, more recently put on the drawing board, I'd like to talk about is the Convention Center. Headlines recently about the expansion. The goal is to, I think, create a better space that will attract more and bigger conventions down the road with a pretty big price tag, $425 million, I think, was the last number that I saw. What does a convention center do for a downtown? Is that necessarily the same plus that it might have been 20 or 30 years ago when convention centers really began to explode?
I do think it's still important. You know, the convention center business is kind of in constant competition of creating bigger and better and more space. And you see these conventions go to where the newest convention center is. And so in order to attract the types of conventions and people that might come and visit our restaurants and other amenities, it is important to keep improving those facilities.
Also, the look, I think, is really critical. And I'm so excited to see all the windows, right? So you need to activate the street. So when there's no convention there, what does that building presence how does it create a vibrant city, right? And so Wisconsin Avenue and in adjacent streets, 4th Street, like what will that look like? And right now there's been a lot of walls, and so they're looking at how to activate through integration of indoor-outdoor activities. But, you know, the benefit really is for all the other businesses downtown. And so I think that's the other aspect that's important. But they said two conventions at one time, right? Two major conventions could occur. And so there's that challenge of balancing the people moving, the hotel rooms and location, and how does that disperse and create value throughout the downtown and maybe some of the adjacent neighborhoods as well.
And of course, local residents can also attend some of those conventions. Certainly, you know, you're not going to go ophthalmologist convention if you're not into eyes. But on the other hand, shows like the auto show and sports show, some of the other big programs, golf show that have taken place over the years in that building, does mean that there's also an immediate benefit to people who make this their home.
And they discover downtown if they haven't been down here for a while. That's the other thing we've heard. Oh, I haven't been downtown for a while. Came down for the auto show and then grabbed barbecue across the street or, you know, walked down at the Riverwalk. So there's different ways to engage people and then bring them back.
You mentioned filling up hotels. We can't do this program without talking about the explosion in the number of hotels in the downtown area. My wife and I, it seems every time we're driving through, there's either another floor added or groundbreaking for a new hotel. Would that have happened without the investments that have already taken place in a building like the Fiserv Forum?
Well, I think right now the whole rush right now is DNC, right? They're pushing the need for the hotel rooms, but it's really because Milwaukee had a shortage to start with. And so I think the other activities downtown have brought an interest that really just accelerated it. And then that'll meet the need for the conventions as well. So they look at all those numbers, right, when they determine is this economically feasible, how will it impact the city. So I think that started it, but they're really just catching up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think the number of hotels and places to stay was somewhat limited for a good period of time, and it's nice to see a range of options and different locations now being developed.
And that's part of the domino effect, too, because there are jobs in those hotels, right? And people who come to town and stay in a hotel, they need a place to eat. So you'd mentioned the restaurant scene before. There could be an even bigger boost to something that people see as one of the great quality of life elements here in the city.
It's all about the experience, right? So a lot of the restaurants do have that interactive component. It's programmed differently, right? So you might have an indoor-outdoor restaurant. And some of the boutique hotels, that's really been their attraction. You know, you have the Kimpton Journeyman. They have a rooftop, right? That's an attraction. And that's for everybody that lives in the area, too. That isn't just for people utilizing the hotel.
Let's talk a little bit about Wisconsin Avenue. what used to be the Grand Avenue and Wisconsin Avenue now in this day and age. How do you see that evolving as these other big projects like Fiserv Forum and Convention Center are unfolding?
It would be nice to see, you know, the kind of pockets of development and emphasis we see now start to bleed into one another. I think they're isolated, you know, around where the emphasis is being placed currently, you know, like around the Fiserv Forum. But, you know, Milwaukee is small. The downtown is not that big. And I think it's not unreasonable to think that this activity and development and reinvestment could kind of spill over into the surrounding spaces.
I think the challenge for the Grand Ave is and why it's been, you know, stalled for this long, the massive size, right? It's like a super block, right? You can't pass through
it. This is the old Grand Avenue.
The old Grand Ave. Yeah. So now with the new vision, it's really exciting to see engagement at the street level. A food hall really is all the rage right now to bring people in, and all the people that worked down there. Years ago, I remember that's where you would go to eat, right? You'd go to the food cart, you'd go shopping, and everything just slowly disappeared. But now obviously bringing back, you know, a major engineering firm is there. So you actually have employees who are your customers, but also activating that space. I think the Boston store end, again, how do you activate that as a street frontage? You know, that's the challenge. If it looks blank and dark at night, it still has a negative impact sort of on the overall experience. So as those brighten up, that I think will just keep trickling down the block.
What impact will the Milwaukee Symphony's new orchestra hall have on the avenue? Do you see that having the similar catalyzing effect that the
Yeah,
Grand
that's
avenue
a that's a
have?
Great point. I mean, I think that's a major addition to the city. You know, another kind of venue to experience the arts. An amazing structure. You know, I think the effort and design quality that's gone into that space is just going to be absolutely incredible. So, yeah, I think absolutely that is a kind of the first seed, hopefully, for much more development to come.
Especially on those couple of blocks. Those blocks have been dark, right?
Yeah.
There was no reason to go there. And what I understand is they'll be able to have actually more performances at different times of year. And so you'll actually keep it probably more activated. And so that arts, you know, mm-hmm. connection is really critical. And where do you go before a show? You usually go out to eat, right? So, again, have this other ripple effect in the area.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens in 10 years from now, right? Carolyn, I know that you've been really involved in helping with the development of the Harbor District. Let's talk about how that has also been part of the renaissance of urban Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be part of that process, to see it evolve right now. When you look at Menominee Valley, that takes 10, 15 years to evolve. And so we think we're the next area of Milwaukee. It's the largest parcel really that needs to, or area of land to be redeveloped. On the northern end will be more housing and a mix of uses. There's offices there, again, keeping that 18-hour city idea. Maybe not quite 24, but you're going to have housing and jobs. But we also have Komatsu coming in, major employer, taking a significant piece of land that had to be cleaned up. Obviously, we have education, freshwater sciences from UWM is down there. And one thing we heard from the residents, we did a lot of engagement with property owners, but residents in the area, is they wanted access to the water. I mean, you could have lived there 50 years and never really touched the water. And so one of our first projects was Harborview Plaza, which is at the very end of Greenfield. And it's been really, really exciting to see the diversity of people that are there and that will come there. And then we have different events. So also, if you want public spaces to be successful, you need to program them. And so we have a variety of activities. We're excited this summer. Some of the staff put out a call to see who in the community wanted to host an event. I mean, we're going to have it booked all summer, from learning about turtles and fish to sailing to, you know, the kayaking. So it's really engaging people. So it's been a jobs focus, right? That was the city's priority for a lot of our work through the water and land use plan, but there's the community engagement as well.
And for those who are trying to picture where this is, if you imagine where the Rockwell or old Ellen Bradley four-sided clock is, right near Greenfield, First and Greenfield, get on Greenfield and go as far east as you can until you
don't go into the water. We don't want you going into the water, but that's where
the ship, yes.
When you see the ships there, you know. And that, I think, helps give people a sense that it's not really just the port of Milwaukee, which is important. That's a working port. But all that other space between downtown and the port itself, there's all sorts of opportunities for, as you mentioned, Komatsu, but other companies looking at that space. And again, housing, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, what Milwaukee has done really successfully over the last 20 years is reinvest in the waterfront, in the public's ability to access the water. And since we're surrounded by it, you know, I think that's one of our greatest amenities. We see that, you know, throughout from the Riverwalk to what's happening in the Harbor District. It's really great to be able to see that kind of development. Hopefully that continues in the future as well.
And it's a balance of a working waterfront. That's one thing we also stressed. You can have a working waterfront but still have public access. Michaels is the other big corporation that's investing in the Harbor District right now, bringing their jobs there, which again starts to bring employees and people living in the area as well.
I mentioned how different Wisconsin Avenue is likely to look in the next 10 years. What about other parts of the Harbor District, other parts of our urban landscape? Any predictions on what a decade will mean in terms of additional development?
It's funny because I always take a look at our studio, our urban design studio, the areas we look at. I'm running out of space. You know, we look at undeveloped or underutilized, and they're slowly transforming. And so I'd say the area we're looking at now is the area on the east side of the Third Ward. All those parking lots mm-hmm. that are adjacent to Summerfest, is that the highest value, best use? And the one we looked at a couple years ago is Haymarket, which is immediately north of Fiserv Forum. That neighborhood, I think, is going to go through transformation. Already American Family has invested, and again, north of the live block area, and then into Bronzeville. So we've seen a lot of transformation in Bronzeville, maybe a little slower than people are wanting. But having that adjacency to downtown, that investment starts to spill over. So those two areas, I think, will be key.
Yeah, I agree with the Summerfest and the surrounding area. I think we've seen a couple of studios in the school interested in looking at that and developing it further. And I know, you know, the people at Summerfest are doing kind of a fantastic job at looking at their own venue and seeing how improvements could be made. It would be nice to see access to the waterfront really emphasized in that area as well.
And the neat thing is, you mentioned your studio, students, today's students, tomorrow's urban planners and architects, they're the ones who are at ground zero in helping to imagine what the future looks like.
Right. They get excited about the potential, and we're also sort of educating them on the blend of uses. But I also bring in the practice side of, you know, how do you do with parking? Who are your partners? None of this happens alone anymore. You need both private and public sector partners to help you be champion of that vision.
Well, thank you, folks, for being champions of urban development downtown. Good luck as you continue with the planning studios and, of course, educating that next generation of architects and urban planners. Carolyn Eswine and Kyle Reynolds, both part of UWM's School of Architecture and Urban Planning, are guests on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.